Kathy Hagan, President.
And Ken is here. Great. We have some great partners at the table with us today, and unless you have something to say,
Just welcome everyone here. It's a work session, so just so people know, it's not a meeting that the council votes at. That's why you have work sessions. That's why it's more around a table. They're not sitting up there. It's to talk, to figure out what people are thinking and doing, so it's more informal. And that's kind of the process here, because this is a long process. And I'm Rick Allen. I'm the city manager. And
Corey Misley, assistant city manager.
Ashley Williams, utility clerk.
Scott Perkins, public works manager.
And George Kolb from the county. Why don't you introduce yourself? Schutz County, he's the guy that runs all the county roads and helps us with everything. So then, so we thought today was a chance to, we've been working with ODOT on, some of you may not know, and some of you, we've got a project coming on in a few years, and we received a grant to do kind of what you see down at First Street. If you wanted to know what it would look like, depending on where you are, look at First Street with sidewalks, bioswale, and lights. That gives you an idea, because a lot of people like, what is it? But we would extend it down. So that's what we're here for today, and I know a lot of business folks are here. So Gary, take it away.
Okay, I'm Gary Farnsworth. My label is area manager out of the Region 4 office in Bend. I work for Bob Bryant, the ODOT Region 4 manager, and I'm responsible for our capital instruction projects, like the one we're going to talk about. And then I also participate in partnership with folks like Mayor and Rick on the Area Commission on Transportation, and also am always plugged into our Regional Solutions team, Annette Leva and company. We state agency support, so I'm involved in those things. And I brought some folks with me today, since it is a work session. These are some of the key folks that are really rolling up our sleeves to work through what we need to do on this project, particularly the streetscape section. You didn't mention trees and grass, but
that's coming. Yeah.
You guys are going to be taking some of that on with a contract this coming spring.
Yeah, so what we're doing right now, we're designing the trees and the grass. This being bid, basically, here in the next few weeks. So next, as soon as we can, in April, May, before Memorial Day is our goal, that'll have grass and trees and bushes down there. So it'll all look very nice and landscape around those big ponds they built to retain water. There'll be trees and bushes around those, so to give it a good aesthetic look. People will notice. You already notice a huge difference when you come in. I think you'd all agree to that. It's a much nicer intersection. And then throwing the landscaping in, Lapine definitely will look like a different place. And we want to extend that same look and feel all the way through town, so people start to stop, notice Lapine, do business, and all of you own businesses. And that's the goal when we're said and done. You've certainly seen it in other towns. So
yeah, and thanks. Yeah, so I'll go ahead and introduce around the table. David Natowski is our region access management engineer. What it means is David works real hard at interpreting law and rules and a lot of process we need to go through in regard to how we identify and maintain, improve access to the highway, essentially, both public and private access to the highway. And Mike Darling, sitting to my left, he's the project leader. Actually, Mike was the project leader for the First Street project. And Mike is also the project leader for the project we're here to talk about today. And Martin Matezik is our roadway design engineer. I'll say extraordinaire. He does quite a few things for us across the region. Anything that we have any sort of complexity around, it seems like we get Martin involved in it. And it's great to have Martin involved in this project. The complexities that come with trying to do streetscape into sort of a remodel is a pretty challenging effort. So I'm glad Mark can join us. And then Terry, last but not least, Terry Pistoli is our senior right-of-way agent. And Terry's name is all over the letter I sent out here this last week, and it's also in your packet, because our right-of-way agents are just superhuman folks for ODOT who do great things with trying to bring all perspectives together into decision making with our neighbors, with the property owners when we're working on projects. So we got a good cross section here to visit with each utility, try to get through what we need to, and then also just stay in front of the project as we go along. So in your packets, you have essentially what we have sent out to adjoining property owners, immediate next-door neighbors along this section of Highway 97 from out here essentially, right out in front of us, roughly 6th Street and a little bit further south on the Bi-Mark side, all the way up to the 1st Street area. And we focused on everyone, every property owner, for properties on both sides of the highway up to that section. Both sides of the highway, noting that the project and the funding that Rick talked about that the city is in essence bringing to the table for a streetscape on the west side, and we only have enough funding to sort of fill in between First Street and the demonstration project out in front. So a lot more work on this side. The project overall is actually repaving from Sun River all the way down to the Highway 31 junction. So we're sort of combining the work. And so there's a much bigger project, and we're going to need to continue to talk about and update council and the community about that bigger project, because it will have impacts just from construction standpoint over the next, when we get to it over a construction season. So we'll do that, but the focus is on this sort of urbanized area between 1st Street and 6th Street. And with the paving project, we are required by law, it's the right thing to do, but we're also required by law to make sure we have brought where there are sidewalks and crossings, the sidewalk to driveway street ramps for ADA accessibility, we have to bring those up to the current requirements by law with the paving project. And we wanted to make sure that we, first of all, sort of treated the urban area kind of as one with, you know, informing and engaging property owners on both sides of the highway, but also knowing that there may be some issues we run into with how getting those sidewalk ramps up to current standards may have an effect, will likely have an effect on some of the driveways. The geometry, the design, the widths and all of that sort of thing. So we wanted to make sure we covered both sides, but just knowing that there is a difference in what we're doing with this particular project is the focus of the streetscape for today is just on the west side. The hope is that someday, and the city, I think, is interested in applying for additional funds to get to the east side before too long, but we were only able to go.
We'll be applying Friday.
Yes,
48 hours from now.
There's a call for new program dollars for our update to our capital program, and it sounds like that's what we'll see from the city. So that's great. So back into what's in your packets, the cover letter outreach with many of the property owners, Terry and Mike, and I think maybe Corey and Rick have actually engaged with some of the property owners already. Especially where we were sort of anticipating there might be some significant challenges in just getting through the streetscape design with existing conditions. So some of that contact, and I know Terry, you've been calling a lot of the property owners as well, and followed to be sending the letter out last week. And we wanted the letter to go out a bit of advance of today's work session in order to give folks a chance to come in and participate or listen in. And the crux and the point of this particular letter is to focus on what is relatively new for us at ODOT in what's called a access management methodology. Methodology is kind of a fancy word for how are we going to go out making decisions on access as it relates to the project we're doing. And in this case, the big thing that we're doing is the streetscape. So in order to establish the thing that we seem to like on the north end there, coming off of First Street with the curb gutter sidewalk, the swale and sidewalk, street lights, and all of that, it's going to come with the pain of change, so to speak, or the process of change and what it takes to get through all of that. And that really is the focus of why we're looking at this need to have a methodology, because it will lead to a set of decision making that will eventually roll into what's called an access management strategy. The strategy will inform, and it will clarify, and it will lay out what decisions we're making, why we're making those decisions, and how we'll go about implementing those changes, any changes that come out of that strategy. And we'll have different ways to communicate and sort of solidify those decisions all the way into when we're actually out there building and constructing that project and any changes that might come with that. Given the nature of the West Side, and in particular, we know from what the vision is. We built some vision here out in front of the City Hall and some vision out in front of First Street, or south of First Street, it's going to create quite a bit of change. And not all just for access and driveways, but it'll have some effect on existing sidewalks and curbs and the cross section that's out there today. But it's important for us to establish this methodology, but not only establish it, but engage council, staff, and those most directly affected by the changes that will most likely come, by describing how we're going to go about making decisions, what's important to us, in terms of criteria or points we'll use to make decisions from, but then how we'll go about making the decision. So the draft methodology that is there with the cover letter is here in draft form. So we, between ODOT and city staff, notably Rick and Corey, have gotten to this point of having the draft, and we are now looking for input on the draft. From the council, from the property owners, and then from anyone that has an opportunity to take a look and weigh in on the methodology. And the hope is that perhaps in the January timeframe, we will come back to city with a final version, and the ODOT Region 4 manager, Bob Bryant, we hope will come to a consensus on the final version of the methodology, and that will drive us to decisions for the project as we move closer to the property acquisitions that will be required and the construction of the project and decisions for each and every driveway along the section. Within this also, you'll see with a letter, there are a variety of ways that we're letting the property owners know that they can engage in reviewing the methodology and engaging us in reviewing the methodology. We want to be very much trying to make this as painless as we can in terms of the review process and involving ourselves with everyone. In fact, that's why I mentioned that Terry and we've been making the calls out to folks, because we do want to do that. We want to try to make this as cooperative as we possibly can. But we are required by both statute and by rules to allow alternatives for the public, the property owners, to weigh in on the review process. So you'll see there's a one-page process, range of process options that are available to property owners. Our hope is that we will be able to be as informal as we can to get to good decisions possible, but if we can't get there, then we have some tools. And again, the focus of the alternatives for review really have to do with making sure we can work with the methodology, because with the methodology, once we have that in place, we'll use that to drive our decisions forward. So also with the methodology, the draft methodology you see on the three or four pages there, we've also included and referenced the public involvement and communication plan. When we were here at the last work session we visited with the council on, we shared an early draft of this, and this is what Mike likes to call an evergreen document. So the communication involvement plan will continue to change Really depending on where we're at in the process and the things we've learned in the process, it identifies a little bit, describes why we're, what the project is about, why, what's important to us as we do the public involvement, sort of a broad list of folks who identify as stakeholders, and sort of generally how we're approaching our involvement, and then as you go into more detail towards the back of that document, you'll see a table that identifies some more specific things that we've done or are doing. And the reference is, here we are meeting with Council and Public Works Committee at work session on November 18th. You'll see more we have planned, or we'll be continuing to work through with folks. So the biggest thing for me, Rick, today in Council is we're interested, if you have specific questions or even comments as you're observing now.
Maybe it would help if you gave an example of methodology, because I think that's probably what gets going. You're using ODOT speak a little bit, so just give an example of
what you're
really asking them.
Yeah, what methodology is, what are the types of subject matter that we're using to make decisions on, right? How are we going to go about making the decisions? So an example is, if you look on the third page of the draft methodology, economic objectives of the property owners. We are taking a shot based on what we've learned and observed and know from project to project, and even in some of the engagement we've had on this project, we think it's important to make sure we're considering the specific type of business that comes with each access, and where their customers are coming to and from, and how that business operates, and how what types of travelers are there, what types of vehicles are going on the property, supply vehicles that are making deliveries, how do they market, how do they communicate with their customers, what do the customers need to have safe access and circulation and for them to engage in business. And that includes not only the types, but also how much volume, how much traffic are coming and going, how many people are coming and going from the businesses. We're also very tuned in and focused on the rights that property has regarding access to the highway, and rights in terms of real property rights that are deeded and that sort of thing. And what are the existing conditions, and how important are those? So there's just a list of items there that we want to reflect that are true values in making decisions around that the point of view of the property owner. And so to extend the example, Rick, we would want to ask this group, but we're asking the individual property owners, are we getting it right in terms of what's important? Are we capturing that in terms of just, how are we going to make a decision? Is there something missing? Is it not quite worded the right way? Are there other areas that we haven't quite thought of that might apply not only to that property, but to other property owners along the corridor, to their tenants? We also make a point to talk about the importance of the sensitivity of not just the property owners, but if they have business tenants, are we being respectful of that relationship as well? And then the other example would be safety. So we would expect that property owners and businesses care about safety. We would expect that council cares about safety. We certainly do. And we care about safety not only of the traveling public that are going along the highway, but also the same traveling public that are accessing the properties from the highway. So we want to make sure there's a good balance, and the examples that you see here are trying to strike that balance. Good economics for the property owners, safety, and then hopefully a shared value in not allowing congestion, trying to minimize congestion, minimizing the ability for folks to get on and off because of but because of the circumstances of knowing some conflicts of traffic that affect folks' ability to move and to access. So those are all reflected here in different ways. The other thing we're trying to communicate in the way of example is this is a big highway that runs through the middle of the community. And that highway serves a function. It serves a national function. It serves a state function. It serves a regional function. And it serves a local function. And we want to make sure that we're keeping our eye on the ball in all those different functions that highway has, and that it's balancing across those different services that the highway provides. So that, I don't know if I'm getting at your point, Rick, but we've tried to describe that, and we've tried to do it in a way that says, hey, you know, we've got a lot of things to consider here. And not only that, as we're gathering input, we understand that this will be a joint decision on how we finalize this methodology and make decisions about every aspect of the project jointly between ODOT and the city.
I think, we'll go ahead.
Just to get it clear right in the beginning, we're only talking about the urban area.
Yes.
Are we going to have other meetings on the rural area? Because that's part of the city too. Well, we're responsible for businesses there.
Well, I guess I would offer that even today is a meeting that covers the entire project. And I say that because the way we're defining the rural area in this methodology, because of the nature of the pavement fixes we're doing, and that being the primary driver for the pavement condition in the rural area, we are not planning to make any changes to driveways. So no changes in, you know, in not relocating them, not closing them, not moving them around or adjusting their size and spacing. The expectation is that there won't be any changes to make. Therefore, the methodology reflects that there aren't any real decisions to make other than that decision.
So they say the business owners, and we'll call it Wickia Lapani, they have concerns because of the traffic flow down there. It's coming out of Gordy's, it can take you a while. And they said they were told there's going to be a turn lane up there, and now there's not going to be a turn lane.
Yeah,
I don't know anyone
from ODOT that would have told them that there would be more than what's there now.
But that's why I want to make sure they're involved too.
Yes.
They are part of our city and businesses, and they're concerned.
Sure. So I think I understand what you're saying. We did talk a little bit, and I've had some discussion with at least staff about is there interest on the community's part for making changes as a part of this project. The interest would have to come with funding from other than ODOT. And it would have to come from probably the perspective of some sort of a drive from the community side to propose changes to access. And I have not heard any follow-up or interest in those things, in as a part of this paving project, doing those things. So I think I get your point. We need to engage. Not only in communicating with them, perhaps by a mailer of another sort, but allowing at least some awareness and understanding of what the project is and how it will be implemented. But I wouldn't be driving for a need to talk about whether or not they agree or disagree with making changes as a part of the project, because we're not proposing those changes. So the changes would have to come from them wanting to make those changes, and we would have to figure out how to coordinate that. So I'm very interested in continuing to raise awareness, let folks know what's going on, and communicate in different ways. In fact, as we do more specific community outreach, Mike, I could see us having more of an open house type of a format right? A public meeting where folks can come and learn and understand. And if there are specific things that you'd like us to talk about with council and with some of those partners you're talking about, I'd certainly love to do that. It would be a little different context, I think, than, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So absolutely, I think, you know, if we know what you'd like us to do, and we've even had some discussion about putting out a mailer just to inform folks about the project that's coming and that it'll impact them during construction. I mean, that sort of thing would be important. And we'll have an early opportunity to do some of that in coordination with the Wickiup Junction Bridge project as well for that area. So hopefully I'm getting that here.
Well, yeah, I just, you know, their concern is, of course, the traffic, the safety. There's accidents up there. And if they're going to have an input in this process, you know, so I say, or they should have come up and invited to this meeting, probably. Or,
well, they would have if we were proposing that there likely will be changes, and we're not. But I still get your point, and that is, they have the right to know what we're doing and not doing.
I think a couple things maybe is that project's been going on for many years.
The Wickiup Junction project?
Yeah. In that there was lots of meetings years ago. It just took a long time to get it funded. The plans have been on the wall for many years. We had meetings. You came to one out there with that business group. Mm-hmm. So Gary came down. We met. I've been out there four or five times with those business groups on that project. I mean, they don't. None of them are here. They're not, but talking business people along the road there.
Okay.
They're not here. And when we meet out there, none of you are there. Because why? You're interested in the part that affects you, and they're interested in what affects them. Today's discussion is this downtown piece. And ODOT and even cities, all projects, if you're at all thinking that when you're working in one area, you do the whole town, that financially is impossible. These towns spend decades doing a sidewalk project in the north, one in the middle, one in the south, leap over that. I mean, South Redmond has no sidewalks. You know, yet downtown has been all prettied up. So, you know, it leaps around. And so we applied for a grant through ODOT to do sidewalk work on the west side only, and that's what we were awarded. Right. Tomorrow, we're going to work on applying for the east side. And then someday, you can apply for something out there. Redmond just now is working on South Redmond after their 30,000 people. You know, so it's that's how it is done. There's
like we talked before, it's educating.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
So we have to.
We met with them though. I mean, I've been to four or five meetings. Ken's been to a couple of them. We've met at Gordy's. We've met at the pizza parlor, I think. We've met at Wickiup. We've went to the different businesses, and they've set it all up.
Right.
I mean, again, some show, some don't.
Right. But I think Dennis is making a good point, Rick, and that is we have a much larger project that we need to make sure we're informing everyone about, even though we're focused today on decision making for this
Correct.
Core area. We still need to come back and then look at Mike again about having more of an open, broadly, fully invited, and we could even consider, you know, meeting up there if we need to, or maybe doing it because we're going to start construction on Wickiup Junction in the spring. Maybe we could do something in concert where we're doing an outreach on that construction project, and we could tag on for, you know, that focused audience. So
yeah.
Maybe that helps, Dennis. It's a bigger project, and we need to not forget that even though we're focused today, we need to make sure we address all of the interests.
I'm just carrying the voice on.
Sure, no, that's good.
Okay. I think you defined it, Gary, that there needs to be an ongoing dialogue that includes them, and the way you've expressed it about the spring and for the overpass, that would be an opportune time. I mean, they're part of that, but one of the key things that I keep hearing is about this one is about the safety issues along that corridor from the railroad tracks north.
Sure.
and turn lanes. So if those are concerns, then they definitely should be in some kind of dialogue, whether they start it or ODOT starts it, that that's one of the things that they see is that that they want to have input on. So.
Absolutely, and the other dynamic, the other thing that makes this challenging is we do have two big projects coming through in relative proximity to each other. Right, we've got a big bridge project to address the overcrossing, and then we've got a big pavement fix project coming through, you know, within a year or so. So that sort of complicates things. And then the underlying question is, why aren't we doing more while we're out there, sort of thing. It's a fair question, but we do need to answer it. We need to be able to talk about it in the context of, you know, why are we doing what and why aren't we doing this. And, you know, I think it's fair to have a conversation.
I will say it for you, Gary, and that those of us that are in contact and part of the COAC is that money, which comes from gas taxes and comes through to ODOT to maintain the roads, is extremely limited. And it's getting worse every year. So when we sit in those meetings and we look at what we had 5 years ago for enhancement and fix it, and those are two terms. You change something, enhance something on the road is one pot of money, and the fix it is putting pavement out somewhere. It's staggering how much the available funding from the federal level and from the state level there is to go around. It just does not reach. And I respect ODOT's concerns about being very careful about how they talk about what needs to be done and how much can be done, because without the money, it's a moot point anyway. So,
yeah, I was in a phone conference last week with another jurisdiction, an electric board like this, and they wanted to know why we were spending so much money in Lapine and Madras and none of their community. It didn't seem fair and equitable. It's a tough conversation because I have trouble, I try not to look at it from that lens. I look at relative need, you know, functionality need, safety, and all those things. And there's so many safety needs in so many places. And then how we're engaging in the communities as well, and timing, and there's all those factors. And so it's a very difficult, complicated conversation to have, but it does come up. And so if, you know, for example, if we said, well, heck yeah, we're doing all this work, why don't we just add another couple million and fix all the stuff, you know, there along, you know, north of the junction, then I can guarantee you, and Rick knows this, the city managers talk to each other. Council, you've talked, you're sharing what you're doing, and then I get the phone call. Wait a minute, why are you doing that over there when we got this safety problem over here? So,
our last half hour probably should stick to this topic. Right. Why we're here today?
Yeah, but
and that's
okay.
Why these people all came, yeah. Was for today's project, which is downtown Lapine on the highway.
Yeah. So again, I'm very interested in. We're interested. All of us very interested in. You know, are we hitting mark? Rick is right. It's hard for us to try not to talk in too much jargon and still, you know, do what we need to do as far as the technical work is required. So that's a part of it too. Is you know, is it understandable? How can we clarify it? How can we clarify content for you all, along with the property owners? Can we say it better? Can we say it different? What have we missed? What needs to be added? Is it true that the city and ODOT will be making the decisions? Yes, it's true to a point. And we will have property acquisitions also. The other reason why Terry's going to be on point is the example is when we're doing a project like this where we're building curb gutter sidewalk up to adjoining properties, we typically need to have a construction easement it's called. It's a property. It's a literally an acquisition, construction easement to allow us to work across the property line to make sure everything fits together when we're constructing, right? So equipment and so there's a whole process around that. So there's a lot of decision making there that will overlap with not just access, but how everything fits when we're building the new streetscape section. So it's more than just access. It's everything that comes with a remodel that you have to do to fit together. Our most recent example is the downtown section of Sisters, just a very complex remodel. And we have construction easements with pretty much every property in Ontario, if I remember right, to do that. We'll have the same thing here. So there'll just be an ongoing connection to the properties, us as property owner and the private property owners to work together to try to make this successful. And we want to try to get it as clear as we can. We're going to be going through with access. This is a big step. Until we get this finalized and move forward, then we'll be stuck. So this is something we're required to do, and we need to get it done.
Questions, Council?
Time frame to start to finish.
I just alluded to one, and that is if we need to hit the milestone of getting this methodology done, and that's a big trigger point, because we've already been engaged with some of the property owners now and starting to look at the concepts and what is and how are we going to get there, and it goes back and forth with the criteria and
construction costs.
Yeah, so if we're really, really fortunate that the stars all align and it all comes together, we could be building in 2017. But we want to be careful that we are doing this well. And until we do it well, and we've got it right, we won't be able to start into the property acquisitions and the processes and finalizing the design for contract. So this project could end up going to 2018, depending on this time frame, which isn't horrible from our standpoint. Now, we just drove out, I was commenting on paving conditions between Sun River and Lapine, and it's like, oh my gosh, we're out there starting to do kind of some oil patching, and soon we'll be doing some of the patching we do with the infill.
Studded
we'll
tires.
Be doing that sort of thing if we need to. We just assume not, but at the same time, we want to keep the project together. There's a lot of benefit. There's cost savings in keeping it all together. And not only that, and getting the Wickia Junction project out, it's out for advertisement for bids. The bids will open in December, is the construction season will carry into 2017. And I'm a little concerned about having a contractor finishing up and doing the tie-ins of the new alignment, looking at the map, and thus having a paving contractor coming through. So it's going to be either 17 or 18.
But I'm more concerned for the property owners once you start the project. Is it going to be a year project, 2 year project?
You mean construction?
Yeah, construction.
Probably, but it should be a season. We should be able to
build construction season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Less complicated without the signal.
Yeah.
And there's things they can do other than pavement. There's things they can do that aren't, that in more inclement weather, or not related so much to the signal. So the signal really kind of drove us into a certain season. And with the school, we have a little more flexibility here. But we're still talking about construction.
It's basically one season.
Yeah, most likely. And again, that will, a lot of it will depend on how well we're able to reach conclusions and decisions on the access and circulation stuff. But okay, I got your question.
Yeah.
Okay. Other yes.
I think Gary, unless there's something else that's still connected to this, that I'd like to give the visitors in attendance an opportunity to ask some questions. Maybe there's one on the top of everybody's head, or so. If I'll open this for some short public comment around asking questions. Anybody? Any question around this methodology and what he explained? If not,
I was just looking at the objectives and use the word consider many times, but to be more specific, can you kind of break down what you mean by consider? Is there going to be a voting kind of method in which these decisions will be made, or would it be sort of a more informal conversation and, you know, for their negotiation, or
the reason why we use consider is because it has to do with fact finding and the context of each property. So it will depend, but it is we're talking about information driven. So if you look on the last page of the methodology, it talks about how we need to have certain amounts of information against those things we're considering to make a decision. And much of it will hopefully be information we can gather from the property and business owners on what they're willing and able to share with us relative to what we're seeing from the highway side, right? So we can talk from the same perspective of data and how to analyze that data. And I'm using analyze pretty loosely. Analyze can mean lots of things. It could even be standing out there and watching how it works, or information. I mean, we've done all kinds of things with video and pictures, and and that's all information that can feed into a decision. And it's going to vary, but the idea is we gather the right amount, and the hope is we can have an understanding that we've got enough information with the property owner to base it from, even to the point where we may not be able to resolve our differences on an issue, and then say, well, either we need more information or we need a different way to negotiate, right? So consider is purposeful because there are just so many variables that go into each one. But the idea here is we are using an information-driven analysis set of decision-making methods to reach a conclusion, and we're trying to apply some judgment to balancing those things. I don't expect us to have to come down to a lot of weighting factors. We don't usually need to do that. We usually try to take it all into consideration and say, hey, we've got everything, and can we find a solution with this? And most of the time we can find a solution. If we just found a whole bunch of stuff in this project that we couldn't get past, we may come back to council and say, guess what? We need to weight all these, right? We need to start weighting them. I don't think we're going to have to do that. I think it's going to literally come down to some very key things that we're going to find with each property that we're going to have to say, yep, we're either over the top or, wow, that's just going to be super hard, so we need to roll up our sleeves. But as far as the decision making forward, it's going to be city ODOT, but we're going to continually respect the rights of the property owners and know that they have them. And when I mentioned acquisition, right, when we end up in an acquisition process, there's a very rigorous decision making process that we're required to follow by federal and state law that the property owner has, right, in the way of rights. So I don't know if I'm answering your question, but this, what you see in front of you, we could just go crazy on detailing it out, right? But this is sort of a balance point to say we've got enough on the subject matter that it'll really come down to how is it working with each of the property owners as we go through what they have.
Any follow up or anything? Hearing none. Staff?
It's going to be a process over the next few months working through it. I think it's important to note that, you'll hear things as the council. You'll remember some will be true, some won't. But it does impact people. And there's no way, I think it's always, I like to make sure you're always real, if you think you're going to go into a project like this that doesn't impact anyone, you wouldn't even start. Because when you go down through there, what you find is some people's signs are actually on State of Oregon property. Some people's canopies hang over State of Oregon property, none of which is legal, never has been legal, but it's there. So as you start to go through, and then he's got to meet the ADA requirements. You know, that has to have a certain slope. Maybe the slope isn't that way in front of business X, but they can't pour it to where it's like this. It has to be like this. It affects people. It changes things, and there is no way around that. But every city in Oregon and all the cities, just like Sisters, I mean, they had people with their the canopy posts for their overhangs on their businesses were on state property. And, you know, these things get worked out. Some people are pretty excited, and some it takes a little longer to get them there. But what I find is interesting, when it's all done, you switch the people that weren't real happy, they usually become pretty darn happy. You might not get 100%, but you get awful close. And but boy, during construction,
yeah,
tempers flare, people are a little upset, and it's taking too long, you know, all the normal stuff. But when it's all said and done, it's amazing to me how after the fact the support is. So look, just take First Street. Remember some of the emails we got, or people upset, and then, you know, the second it's done and open, oh, they're all excited and they like it. And that's just human nature, and that's just kind of what you do. But we want to work close, make sure we minimize the impacts, good signage during construction so that there's the blue little markers, and they put business access signs. You certainly did. And in Sisters, you closed the street. Not just, you couldn't, it was closed. And you did it in sections as you went through town. This obviously isn't going to happen because it's Highway 97. And the project in Madras, you know, that's just wrapping up, you should go down and look at it. I mean, I've talked to so many of the businesses there that are so now, who weren't all that excited about it, who sat and kind of, you know, they're all liking it. By and large, they're all liking it, and they slowly become that way. And I've used this before. These guys remember at the North End years ago, a decade ago, when they redid the North End of Madras, and there was a big national chain who didn't like anything that went on there and fought it and went clear to the Transportation Commission. And he owns five of these in other towns in Central Oregon. It's his busiest one. He's happy as can be, and it turned out. And that's really what happens in these when it's all said and done. It does change things, but I think when you see it finished with its tight, clean, tidy, looks better, more people will stop, more people will come to your business, and it's all positive. Getting there is painful, and we're in the getting there process. And so we know where the difficult kind of spots are. Some there's no issues, virtually. And then there's others that are a little more difficult. We know where they are, and we're going to work hard to try to resolve those.
Yeah, we are going to work hard. And so I just want, thanks for sharing that, Rick. That's great, because we've done a handful of these together. And what I want to emphasize here, well, a couple of things. One is we're not coming to you, we're not coming to the community to say, we have to make all these fixes, and we're going to do this come hell or high water. This is a conversation of, this is something that we truly want, the same thing that you want, right? Which is that there's so many benefits to having the streetscape. It's safety and mobility and just revitalization. Those are all values that I think we share. So it's not like we're trying to impinge something on you and the property owners. This is more of, hey, this is what it appears like we all want to try to achieve. Now we've got to roll up our sleeves and do some work to figure out how to get through the changes that and the impacts that it's going to have, but do it in a way that is fair and reasonable and is thoughtful, right? And we're spending time. We're here to listen and care, right, about what's going on. We're not here to say, you know, we're going to do it this way. That's not what this is intended. And the detail of this is trying to convey the first two items on the deal, which is we're trying to improve and ensure safety and mobility, and we're trying to at the same time ensure the business vitality to go with it. So how do we do that? That's the hard work, and that's why we've got these great folks here that help us accomplish that. With that said, I'm not hearing any specific comments from council on this. And a good question from one of the property owners. So note that you have this in front of you. If you have comments, if you have questions, if there's something burning, let me know or work through.
We can email us and we can forward to you.
Communicate with us and we'll work through those, because it's likely that we'll be back at a more formal meeting, say in January, asking you to bless the methodology, and it will drive a lot of decisions. So, you know, the earlier we can get your input and your thoughts on it specifically, the better.
Well, for myself, Gary, I've read over this before already, and it appears balanced. I think there's a very good opportunity for the businesses, and it's great that they're here so that they hear and know that there's going to be a point where they're going to get to negotiate the kinds of things that they feel they need. And I'm comfortable with what's been outlined in here. It's almost a safety net of pieces that ensures that the business owners get to have their say. And by that, and knowing what ODOT does already, I'm very comfortable with this.
Okay, thank you.
One of the things I'd like to see is do maybe after the Wikia, this comment came, maybe what we should do sometime in the next couple of months, but we could, or maybe even after that, but at some point have kind of what we're talking about doing with the Kegel issue. Go to the library at the high school, or we could actually go out to the grade school out at on Burgess.
Mm-hmm.
But have a corner, which I've seen you do many times, have a corner that's the Wikia, have a corner that's the paving project, and a corner that is the downtown project. People that are interested in all three can move around, ask questions, find out about them, get specific, and then we could have a half hour of just general comments, you know, where I think that the Wikia people can ask theirs. Some people care about them all, and some are just specific, but I think something like that, where you have pictures and maps of each project, is that...
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, in the context would be like an open house.
Yes, an open house.
Kind of drop in, visit, leave. There's no formal presentation.
Yeah.
It's more come in, talk to people, get some specifics.
So whenever you think
see maps,
that
see
should work or you're ready, we can set it up, and I think maybe going out to Burgess and do it at Roslyn Elementary.
Great idea.
Would be kind of central, and... you know, do it there in that library and or some room.
Perhaps after it's been a bit, after the contract's been awarded. Maybe
Once we have the contractor and our
when's that probably?
Manager, January.
January, February. Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
And you can have the contractor there.
Yeah.
You know, for that project. This one's, of course, we're not that far by any means.
Yeah. Yeah, given the size of that project, I'm pretty hopeful we'll get a good contractor.
Yeah, and there's people interested in the Wikia project that don't live in the city, and there are people that access, you know, out at State Park Rec Road. So I think the school out there is a good place, because there's a lot of folks living, thousands of people living down Huntington and off in the trees. So that would be good.
Yeah, I'll work with Rex and you guys, and we'll kind of look at some dates on the calendar and start fleshing that out and work to do that.
That's it.
Great.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks
very much. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for folks coming out.
Great. What's that?
Oh, I did want to say there's copies of paper that's on the website if you want to grab talking about the project.
Here, let's get your names. Let's get everyone's names so we know who attended.
Okay.
If you can just wait.
We'll be at rest for 5 minutes.
Are you actually?
I am.
Okay, I'm John for 5. I was going to let you know I left a message.